and welcome to the Nerd Podcast. That's never-ending retro dialogue. I'm Jordan.
I'm Doug.
And today we have with us a special guest. That's my man Rossi P, or Rain Knight Gaming.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rain Knight from Rain Knight Gaming.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you guys?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, man?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I didn't do much today, so that was nice. I did have a funny thing happen, though. I work at the library, right? And I had a book that was so late that they charged me $30 for it.
I didn't think you guys even charge for late.
We don't, but if they are gone for so long, they're lost. So I had to turn it in today. But I was so anxious. I was like, oh my God, like, don't let this go on my permanent record. But that was the highlight of my day.
You have the library detective coming
yeah,
after you.
Yeah, which I thought I was, so how can I go after myself?
There we go. You play by the rules.
It'll be like a classic noir story where the detective is the villain, but he has amnesia or something. I don't know.
Call Christopher Nolan up.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Ooh, yeah, there we go. So today we're going to talk about something kind of broad topic. We're going to be talking about board games and card games, and which is why we have Rossi P here, because he is a card game guy.
Enthusiast.
He's a card game enthusiast. I quite like board games. Doug, you like board games?
Yes, board games, and then card games in the more traditional sense.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a euchre guy.
Oh. Now, obviously, we play Dungeons & Dragons.
Yes.
Which has had some pretty big things happen in our campaign recently.
We'll have to talk about that in our end of the month.
Well, we have to talk about that because we watched Dungeons & Dragons, the movie, so.
Yes, we do.
Seen that yet.
It's much better than I thought it would be.
It was very good.
Yeah.
It was a good watch.
Now, have you ever played Dungeons & Dragons?
I've never played. I grew up in the sticks.
Oh, yeah.
Where you play with sticks, not Dungeons & Dragons.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No fun time for me.
So, then, how'd you get into card gaming? At what point did you get into that?
Well, so, it's pretty funny. So, Yu-Gi-Oh! I play Yu-Gi-Oh!
Mm-hmm.
And that came out in 2002 in America.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was first going to college in 2002... one guy was just playing in his dorm room by himself. I was like, what are you doing? And so he got me to buy some packs, and we played, not following the rules at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cat came up on me.
That happens all the time.
All the time.
Then I stopped playing for years. And maybe a month before the pandemic hit, I was just like, yeah, you know, I like this Yu-Gi-Oh stuff. I'm going to buy some cards. Mm-hmm. And I started playing. Actually went to my first locals. Locals is where you actually go play other people at card shops. And then the pandemic hit, and you play online then. And I've been playing ever since.
Wow,
and,
okay.
During the pandemic is when I started my YouTube channel, Rain Knight Gaming, just to kind of try to get better at the game. Because, mm-hmm. you know, if you're just by yourself in a vacuum, you don't get better.
Right.
So it was a great way to meet people and just get better at playing.
So how... I'm going to ask a lot of maybe dumb questions, so online play versus in-person play, when you're dealing with card packs, how does that work?
So online play, there's a couple different options. I really like DuelingNexus.com,
mm-hmm.
which I'm actually in a partnership program.
Oh.
So go play on there. and them and a couple others are simulators, mm-hmm. where you already have access to all the cards. You just digitally make your deck.
Okay.
And then you can play everybody, and it makes you follow the rules. Because out of, like, the three main card games, Magic, Pokemon, and Yu-Gi-Oh is probably the most complicated for different rulings. So you play on those so you can learn and not have to worry about people cheating. And then there's Dueling Book, which is you still get all the cards, but it's all manual clicks and everything, and you make things happen. So you actually have to know the interactions for that one.
Okay.
And then there's Konami, which makes Yu-Gi-Oh!, actually came out with their own simulator, Master Duel. And that one you actually have to open digital packs and spend gems and stuff.
Sure.
So they can charge you for said gems and make money.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the different ways you can play online.
So is there a fee involved with the first two that you talked about? Or
Dueling Book... And actually, all the simulators are completely free except... Mm-hmm. And Master Duel is free except for the microtransactions.
Okay.
So, pretty nice.
Interesting.
Yeah, I guess I kind of just assumed that you... I didn't know that you started getting into it again pre-pandemic. I thought you were just always into it, so...
No, I stopped years.
Yeah.
I've only been playing for maybe 4 years now.
Oh, wow. But you're a master duelist.
Master duelist, yeah.
What do they call... They used to call... what did they call that in the cartoon? Something... Not a master duelist, but something else. I can't remember what they called it, but... did you watch the cartoon?
Yeah, I watched the anime a bunch.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Sorry, the anime.
The anime is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Because you've got the original anime, which has Yugi and Kaiba and all of the main characters everyone kind of nostalgias over.
Yeah.
And then you've got GX, which is the next one where they actually make it playing Yu-Gi-Oh! You go to school for it. And it's like a special college on an island where high school kids go to play.
Wow.
And then there's a bunch of they jump into different universes, basically. Which after about 5 different ones they've done, they actually tie it in together, which is really cool. So there's a whole multi-universe theory.
Hmm. Wow. I did not realize it got that complicated.
Wow. Yu-Gi-Oh's deep, man.
I didn't realize that.
It's a game that can be played by kids. Yeah. Not just kids, though.
Well, I mean, I know the game is separate, but I didn't realize the anime was that intense. Because I just watched the original.
Yeah. Basically... They do it to make money, but because they usually introduce different summoning styles for your deck. So you've got your main deck and your extra deck, which is all of your kind of big boss monsters that you fuse together to make those. And there's all different styles of monsters in there, and each anime focuses on a different one. So it's how they introduce them as time goes on.
That makes sense. So it's...
It's like Transformers.
I was going to say, it's like 80s cartoons where they would
add a new one, add so you new characters, so you have to buy a new toy. So which came first, the anime or the game?
The manga came first.
Oh. Okay, okay.
And then I think the card game and the anime came out pretty close in Japan. I think it was 1999.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was out. There are a couple sets ahead of us in Japan in the OCG, who are considered the TCG.
Mm.
So there are a couple sets ahead of us for different stuff. But yeah, came out about the same time.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember watching the anime as a kid and really liking it. I was hardcore trying to get Exodia.
Yeah.
The pieces of Exodia. So Exodia was... I don't know what you would call it, but basically, like, once you summoned Exodia, you won.
Okay.
Instantly. Yeah. But you had to get all 5 pieces of him. And so I had, like, 3 pieces, and I was like, I'm going to get Exodia one day. I never did, but...
And they're real cards.
Yeah.
I mean, I own Exodia. Nobody plays them because it's awful.
Right.
But yeah, once you have all 5 pieces of Exodia in your hand at one time, you automatically win the duel.
Yeah. Which is a funny little rule, but...
Yeah, and there are a couple other cards that are kind of like that, but it's almost impossible to get them out. I think there's the tarot card pieces that like spell out Fatal or something like that on the board, and you automatically win.
Hmm.
A lot of those, like Exodia, so there's a limited and banned list for it. Most card games have them. And Exodia is actually limited to 1, so there's 5 pieces, and you can only have 1 of each piece in your deck at any time.
That makes sense. I remember there was an episode of the anime where one of the bad guys, I think it was Kaiba maybe, he threw Exodia overboard into the ocean.
It was Weasel.
Oh, it was Weasel. Okay. And I was just so like, no, Exodia. Because I was just like, because that was how Yugi won, you know. And so I was heartbroken. But then I think he got the pieces back anyway or something.
They came back in... Tournament City, Battle City.
Yeah.
Some other character had them, but they weren't true Exodia pieces.
Right.
He didn't have the heart of the cards.
He didn't have the heart of the cards. That's the other important thing, the heart of the cards, which is...
You know it's bad when you feel nerdy on a nerd podcast.
Well, we feel that way every week, so...
Amen.
Yeah, everything we talk about, we get nerdy about. But heart of the cards, that's something that me and my brother still summon to this day when we need to do something. It's like the touch from Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
It's the heart of the cards. So,
my heart of the cards is just building a consistent deck.
Yeah.
I've got nothing to add to any of this.
Yeah, no.
I'm thoroughly enthralled, but since I've never experienced any of it.
Well,
So what's the main difference? I guess I'll ask another stupid question. So... Magic and Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh? What's, like, what sets them apart from each other? I mean, obviously, besides
gameplay,
is that the main thing?
Basically, I mean, Magic came out first,
mm-hmm.
and so it's I think it's probably the oldest like collectible card mm-hmm. game that's, you know, played. And they've got a mana system, I think, with, like, they use their lands. I've never played Magic, and I've never played Pokemon either. I played Digimon briefly.
Oh, yeah.
But I was just like, I can't financially support two card games.
Right.
And if my wife listens to this, I stopped buying those cards. It basically, the differences between them are all, it's all just how the game's played.
Gotcha.
Now, I will say I did play Magic for a little bit because back when I worked at the comic book store, there was Magic Nights, mm-hmm. like Friday night. And my brother wanted to get into it, too, so I played for a little bit. But it is a little complicated to get into.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with Magic is, I don't know about Yu-Gi-Oh!, but the upkeep for Magic is, like, it's crazy. They're releasing new packs all the time, and you have to, like, constantly cycle out old cards. And there's old cards you can't use, and there's new cards you have to buy. And people would spend hundreds of dollars on one card or two cards that are, like, really good. Well, maybe not hundreds, but they would spend, like, $100 on some good cards. And or they'd buy, like, a whole pack of them for, like, $125 or something, you know. So,
oh, yeah. Magic, power creep's real.
Yeah, Magic is intimidating to me because it's, like you said, it's the oldest one, so it's got the most history. And it's so old that there are cards that are banned because they're like, oh, we don't play the same system anymore or whatever. So,
no but kidding.
Yeah, oh, it's nuts. People really go crazy for Magic. And
so is this like the Warhammer of card games then?
Oh, that's a great question. Warhammer is also very expensive. Have you ever looked at Warhammer?
Oh, I've looked at Warhammer, and I promptly was like, my wife would buy a knife and stab me.
It's cheaper to buy the knife, right?
Yeah, I'll just buy the knife.
Just do it yourself.
And she'll stab me.
Yeah.
She's like, there's your Warhammer.
Warhammer is something I wanted to get into. We have, I remember, my brother bought me some sets. And he's like, I'll buy these sets for you if you pay me back later. And I said, okay. And he's like, later he's like, so that's like $200. And I was like, $200 for plastic men? And he was like, yeah, because he bought some, I mean, maybe it wasn't $200, but it was like at least over $100. And I was like, what? But the thing with Warhammer is you have to cut out these tiny little pieces, glue them together, and then paint them. And they're like this big, you know? My characters were not Space Marines, but an offshoot of the Space Marines. So I'm just like gluing these tiny little machine guns into their hands and building these little tanks. But man, I could never bring myself to like paint them because that's really difficult. But yeah, Warhammer is... There's actually whole stores dedicated to Warhammer.
It's next level for artistic stuff.
Yeah.
As far as like cost, I've got some fairly pricey cards. I know one of my decks that I play, when I bought the card originally, I think the card, one of the cards in it, Baron DeFleur, was like $150.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I traded cards to like get the price down.
Sure.
And then I've got a couple collectible cards that are probably in the $800 range.
Wow. Wow.
That's crazy, man. I didn't know that you had such equipment.
Yeah. There's some large equipment that I have in my binders.
Some heavy hitters.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, now we have a... But now John plays Warhammer, right? Or
he, at the very least, knows a lot of the history of Warhammer.
John is our DM.
Oh, there's some cool backstory.
I mean, there is a lot of lore.
I got a full education driving to Columbus one day. And it just... When you hear that much history and that much... And how in-depth he was going... I just can't believe we're talking about a game. Now, I know they do other things now. They got the books and they've done other things.
Yeah.
But it just blew my mind that it started as a game first. And then this universe that is so detailed.
It's
wild.
It's nuts. The lore, I mean, I tried looking into it once and I was just like, it's almost like you need like a college course or something to understand it, you know? Because there's like, I mean, there's so much history, and then every faction has history, and
mm-hmm.
they're all part of this main story, but then there's all these side stories. It's crazy. So, don't know, but I would like to learn how to play at some point, but do I have the money for it? I don't think so.
Can I use Lego figures?
There we go.
There we go. We've got plenty of Lego figures.
Lego Warhammer.
Lego Warhammer. I could support several people's armies, I think, with that.
I wish I still had my Legos from when I was growing up. We gave them to one of my little cousins.
Oh, yeah.
That was a terrible mistake.
We, some friends from our church, when they were getting ready to downsize, asked if Wyatt, my son, would want to come and look at some of their Legos that they still had. And they just had this maze of stuff. And he was looking through all these tubs, and he's like, oh, that's cool, that's cool. Found some ones with, you know, Bionicles, and found some with, you know, bigger figures. And, I mean, we found a Wild Wild West set, which thrilled me. And so we get to the end after looking through everything, and he picked two tubs, and they're like, no, you're taking all these. It ended up being like 9 tubs.
Oh, my.
Of Legos, which we still have in the basement. Yeah. They're absolutely, it's amazing. And then all of his are down there that he doesn't have on display. Yeah. So half our basement crawl space is Legos. So do you have dedicated sets? I mean, like, when you're going into a game, is it like you've got this deck? Do you create a deck each time, or this is the deck I go with every time?
Well, usually I'll have a deck that I'm concentrating on. Like, mm-hmm. for last year, I basically played a deck called Grimmagio, which is, it's an older deck that you tech in all kinds of newer stuff in it to make it work. And over time, you kind of, like, change little things out to try to make it a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Before then, I played Dinosaurs for a little while, Zombies. And just recently, my last couple episodes I put out on my YouTube channel, is basically, like, I'm starting over, so I'm, like, putting all my normal collection to the side with all the cards, and I'm just going, like, okay, I'm going to start off fresh-faced, I'm going to get new cards, I'm going to order stuff, and build a deck, and open packs, and all this kind of stuff. So I started playing a deck called Sword Soul, which, it's about a year old, probably, so it's more budget than the newer stuff, and I figured out you could probably play the whole deck for, like, $250. I may have spent more than that on it. But, yeah, you usually will try to focus on one deck because there's a rotating meta that people try to stay into if you want to be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And Sword Soul is probably considered a Tier 2 deck, not a Tier 1 deck. But a lot of the times, any Tier 1 deck's going to cost you like $2,000.
Jeez.
You know, if you fully deck it out. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, you know, it wouldn't cost me as much because I have a lot of staple cards that would go in it. But yeah, for when I was starting over, I was like, okay, I'm going to pick this more budget but meta deck. And, you know, the meta is just, the deck is powerful and has newer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I try to stick with one deck. Otherwise, I just don't feel like you get good enough at it. Because there's a lot of, like, weird interactions that cards can have from the main play field, and then your graveyard is where decks will go, cards will go when they're off of there, and then there's the banish zone, and all of them interact with each other with this deck. So it's like, if you don't play it for a couple months, you have no idea what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Jeez.
So where do you go? I know you said you had to go to Columbus to play. So is that like the big place you go is Columbus to play? Where are there places that you go to play?
Yeah, there's. So usually I'll go, I can't get to Columbus very often because, you know, I'm an adult and you can't do stuff. But I go to Heroes and Games. It's downtown in the convention center. And they do a Saturday Yu-Gi-Oh! And they'll have a morning and an afternoon, which is nice. I'll go down for the morning one and then get home and still have dinner with the wife and stuff.
Yeah.
But other places are good to play, like Pixel Palace is a nice place. That's actually the first card store I went to when I first started getting back into it. And I think that's near Powell.
Okay.
And then there's a new place in just like near Dayton. I can't even remember. Dragon's Lair?
Dragon's Lair, yeah.
Yes. No Limit Gaming. No Limit Gaming, I think, is a place I want to try to get down to. I've gone down there and bought a couple cards, but I want to go down there and play locals sometimes.
Yeah.
And locals are really cool because usually you'll get like 5 rounds, mm-hmm. 4 to 5 rounds. And I haven't gone to any bigger tournaments just because I don't have time. But I want to go to like a regional, which is it usually it'll be downtown in Columbus in the fairgrounds. And that'll usually have like 300, 400 people.
Oh, wow.
And then if you go to like a YCS, which is the Yu-Gi-Oh! Championship Series, they do have one in Columbus. I think it's usually in October. But they have them all over the world. Mm-hmm. And there's usually like 2, possibly 3,000 people at those.
Jeez. Wow.
And those are two-day events that'll usually have about 19 rounds.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't realize there was that much. I thought I was thinking it was more, because I know there's like Magic tournaments. I don't know if there's, I'm sure there's Pokemon tournaments.
Oh yeah, Pokemon's pretty big. And yeah. Pokemon, one gripe I have, if Konami's listening, don't hate me. They're not. But
they're always listening.
If they're listening, good on you guys. like prize support for Yu-Gi-Oh is not the best. Prize support for like Pokemon and Magic are actually pretty good. You win money and different things. Yu-Gi-Oh! Starting to get better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like they give like box tournaments where you'll win a whole case of like the latest set, or you'll win like a Switch or something. So
that's cool.
Interesting.
I win.
What's the comic book store in Lewis Center? I think it's called Comic Town.
I don't know. I always get so confused.
I always see them. They've got a huge side section to their store, and they're always doing card games there.
Is that place? It's on the way to like Delaware.
Yes, it's on 23. On the way to Delaware.
I remember I stopped in there one time because I was like, "Oh, this place is actually really close to my work."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Hey, do you guys have any Yu-Gi-Oh?" And he's like, "We don't do Yu-Gi-Oh."
Oh no.
They only do Magic.
No kidding.
I was like, okay, I'll leave.
Yeah, wow.
I'm trying to think what they were playing. I've never taken you there, but there's that comic shop / toy shop that was in Heath / Newark in that area. And they had a little, like a little back area just in the middle of where all their back issue comics were. And they had like 4 tables, and these guys were just sitting there. It was pretty cool because one dude was teaching another one how to play. I don't know what they were playing, so I mean,
yeah,
they could have been playing Skip-Bo and
Extreme Skip-Bo.
There were some
vicious.
Live to tell the tale.
I couldn't even remember any things they were talking about, but yeah, they had cards,
yeah,
and characters on them.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You should play this because of this and this and this. And then he'd go back, like, it was really neat because the guy's like, oh, if you go back 3 turns, and like lifted all the cards, and then he's like, and then showed him a different way to lay the cards, and then the dude was like in a better spot or something. I don't know. I thought that's kind of neat.
Yeah, going back on lines is really, it's interesting watching back games because it's really cool like, on Duel Nexus. you can actually get your replays.
Oh.
So you can watch replays of your matches. So you can be like, well, I screwed up there.
That's where I messed up.
That's where I lost.
Cool.
And that's why I suck.
Now, have you ever played a game called Ascension?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Ascension is, and you've never played this, but I might have told you about it before. Ascension is, I think it was one of the guys who created Magic made Ascension. It's a deck-building game, but it is, it's self-contained. So all the cards are in the middle, and you buy cards, and you build your deck, and you buy better cards, and you try to beat your opponent. That's a really fun game if you like deck-building games and you don't want to spend like a ton of money. Now, there are a lot of expansion packs, but Ascension is really fun if you just want to play something that's kind of like Magic, but you don't want to spend like $100 every 6 months on... That's probably putting it lightly, $100 every 6 months. But yeah, so Ascension is really cool, and you try to get Honor, which are like the little gems. I think it's called Honor. But I have to bring it over sometime because it's so much fun. And I really like deck building stuff. But I like the self-contained nature of it because like I'm terrible at like upkeeping. I don't know how often does Yu-Gi-Oh...
Well, Yu-Gi-Oh, so ban lists. It's not as bad as Magic, because Magic will ban like whole sets.
Oh my.
And they've also got several different ways of playing. You play like one-on-one, you can play Commander, which is 4 people playing against each other. But so the ban list comes out, I think it's like every 3 months or so for Yu-Gi-Oh! Mm-hmm. We've actually got one that's supposed to be coming up anytime now. And it'll only hit like 5 or 6 cards. Usually if there's a deck that's really just plowing people, they'll hit some consistency card in it or something like that. If there's some general card, they're like, okay. So in Yu-Gi-Oh! You can have up to three of one card in your deck. They may hit it to limited, which means you can have 2, or semi-limited. Semi-limited, you can have 2. Limited, you can have 1. Or all-out banned, you can't have in your deck. And that always wrote some things will come off, some things will go back on. But it's not a huge ban list, which is really nice.
So now I've got another question.
Okay.
Deck building.
Okay.
So what's the difference between that kind of game? Because I see when I go to like Dragon's Lair in PAL,
yeah,
and other places, and I see games and it says a deck building game. In my mind, because I don't play those kinds of games, I think of like Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh! Because you're constantly having to buy cards to build your deck.
Yeah.
But so is it different with that?
Is Yu-Gi-Oh! Considered a deck building game? Or
yeah, it's a deck building game because you have to like, and you don't have to continually build. If you want to be competitive, you do.
Sure.
But you can play old decks.
Yeah. I think the biggest difference is there are games like Yu-Gi-Oh! Where you're constantly, like, if you want to be competitive, you have to constantly update it. But there's games like Ascension or there's a DC one.
I was just going to say, I know there's a DC one that they call a deck building game. And the reason I've never bought it, it's like...
That one is self-contained. The difference is you have basically a middle, like a river kind of, right? Uh-huh. And you start off with... Everybody starts off with like kicks and punches. And you buy more better cards with those kicks and punches and build your deck. And then you put them in your discard, you shuffle them in, and then bam, you've got Superman, you've got Wonder Woman. That one is really fun. If you're ever interested in buying it, I really think you'd like it. And we could probably play with the D&D group. But it's more self-contained. You don't have to buy... There are expansion packs, but there's not... Like, you can't go to Walmart and see, like, single packs of them.
Sure. Okay.
Oh, I get it. So it's like the whole game is everyone... There's a deck in the center, and everyone builds their deck based on that deck to win the game.
Yep.
So you're... The actual game is building the deck.
Yeah. And the DC one, I believe, is co-op, so you have to build your Justice League to defeat... a certain villain or something.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, what's that, Legacy? Where you have like a set scenario that you have to complete before... like I have Big Trouble in Little China Legacy, where you have to like... You pick a scenario and you have to defeat that scenario. You have to defeat so many people before you can win the scenario. Mm-hmm. And that's a deck-building card game too, which I've never brought over, but I should do it, because you're the only person that would play it, I think. It's really hard to get people to play Big Trouble in Little China board games for some reason.
You gotta go with the Yangs versus the Tongs.
Yeah. I have a chair we play.
So deck building is fun because if you do it in a game like that, it's less pressure. So it's less pressure because it's like when I was playing Magic, I was like, you got to keep up with this, and this. And then we'd have all these release parties, and people would be trading, and they'd be buying, and they'd be blind buying, blind trading. And I was just like, whoa. You know, and there's like buy-in. You have to buy, you have to pay to play and everything. So the stuff like Justice League or Ascension is much more like, oh, it's Saturday night, and I have a few friends over.
Okay.
So
that's more my speed, probably.
Yeah, we'll have to, when we go to Dragon's Lair or something next time, which is that in Powell or Lewis Center?
I'm not sure what they... That's probably considered Lewis Center. It's the Polaris area. I said Powell. I meant Polaris.
It's the Dragon's Lair area. Yeah.
That's a nice place.
Yes.
Yeah, it's got a lot of good games. And that, and have you ever been to Beyond the Board?
Which is in Dublin, correct?
Dublin, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I have.
We've been there a couple times as a group to play just board games from the library. That's a really good one, too. So I think you would like that if you want to check it out sometime, Beyond the Board. It's by a Kroger down there.
Mm-hmm. So. It's right there in that center.
Mm-hmm.
I should point out, I'll be nice to our friends at Walking Distance Brewery.
Yeah.
I think it's the first Sunday of the month. They have the Union County Board Game Club.
Oh,
is
wow.
There, and they play games there.
I didn't know that. I knew that I didn't know that there was a Union County board game.
I think it's Union County. Maybe I'm misspeaking on Union County, but I know there's a
board game club.
There's a board game club
Wow.
that meets there on Sunday afternoons.
I did not know that.
Where's that at?
Walking distance. So it's off of 8th Street, you know, where the Dollar General is.
Oh, okay. I was thinking, when you were saying walking distance, like, oh, so it's around here?
It's walking distance to all the uptown areas.
Yeah.
I know where you're talking about.
Yeah.
Great place. Teddy's awesome. You guys should go there.
Now, do you have much experience playing, like, board games in general? Or...
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what kind of board games do you like to play?
It's like, you know, Catan.
Yeah.
And then most... I'm terrible with names of board games.
Yeah.
Usually I'll be like, oh, yeah, I played that. over Christmas, my brother, who actually just got out of the military, came home with his wife. And so we just bought a couple board games because they go to, like, bars and play board games.
Yeah.
And, we bought the Blockbuster board game.
Oh.
And, you know, it's cool. You open it up and you put it together. It actually has an old Blockbuster sign.
Nice.
And it's all movie trivia.
Oh, okay. I've seen that.
Awesome.
And a lot of it, there's also, like, an 80s game we played. And, you know, we just, like, you know, name as many 80s big-time wrestlers as you can.
Oh, ooh. That would be fun.
That would be fun.
Which... We should point out your shirt.
Ultimate
I've been trying not to stare at the shirt. Absolutely love it. That's awesome.
I got this at JCPenney's Ben's Big and Tall.
Really?
Nice. Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome. If you can't see it at home because it's a podcast, this is WrestleMania 3 Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan, which is an absolute classic.
Yeah. I won that round, by the way, because my brother said The Undertaker, and I was like, you're wrong. he came out in SummerSlam 1990.
That's right.
It's six.
Oh, is it six? Wait, I thought they fought it. No, he fought Andre at three.
Andre
it is six.
Was three.
Yeah.
Andre was the slam heard round the
world. That's right.
Yeah.
I've been corrected. Oh, my heart. A dagger through my heart.
I'm sitting there going, is that three? That shouldn't be three. That should be Andre.
I didn't think about
still
that.
Still an awesome shirt.
Yeah.
How old were you when Andre got slammed?
I don't believe I was born yet.
A dagger through your mother's uterus.
We used to have a board game night at Pack Rat, and we would play all these kinds. So I got introduced to all these different types of board games. And we have board games at the library. We've had them for years now. It was definitely pre-pandemic that we've had them. So we've got some pretty cool ones at the library. And I think you one of them that I always recommend to people, and I think you own it, is Betrayal on the House on the Hill. Betrayal on the Haunted... I always forget if it's Betrayal on the House on the Hill or Haunted House on the Hill.
No, it's Betrayal at the House on the Hill.
At the House on the Hill.
I think.
This is a good one because...
Downstairs.
This is a good one because every time you play, it can be a different scenario.
Mm-hmm.
You trigger a different scenario by doing certain things. So you can play, and each time you can play it differently. And it's like a good horror game, so I always recommend that to people.
There was a YouTube show, I think it was Will Wheaton.
Yeah.
That I watched that a bunch. I think that was on there.
Oh, yeah.
Or some version of it. Like,
sure.
That was a fun thing to watch.
Yeah, what was that called?
It was just Tabletop.
Tabletop?
I think so, yes.
Is that still going on?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Yeah, it's funny that, like, board games have kind of taken off in a way that, like, they didn't used to be... They just kind of used to be, like, whatever, but now they're kind of, like, a whole...
Look how different they are,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
yeah.
The evolution of board games has been kind of neat. Yeah. To see what they encompass.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I know a lot of people when they think of board games, and I don't want to sound like a snob, so I'm going to say
that. Here we go.
I'm going to say.
Here we go.
Yeah, my pinkies are out. But
Get ready, folks.
When people think of board games, I think they think of like Monopoly and like Clue and stuff, which are fine games. Don't get me wrong. Besides Monopoly, I don't really like Monopoly. I do like Clue though because there's Clue is at least a murder mystery.
I'm always clueless, so I don't do well.
And there's a good movie based on Clue at least.
Awesome movie.
Awesome cult movie. Classic. Cult classic. But when I think of board games, I think of Catan. I think of Betrayal on the House on the Hill, Ascension. There's definitely like a tier of like more strategy-based games, more story-based games. Forbidden Island, which gives me terrible anxiety.
Forbidden Island was great. Yes.
Or was it? Oh, I played Forbidden... There's Forbidden Desert and Forbidden Island. I think I played Forbidden Island because it's Saints,
and I
right?
think there's a... My friend, after... hearing us talk on the end of the month, last month, there's like three or four different forbidden games. So
forbidden. I know, I have one forbidden game. I can't play Candyland anymore. I'm diabetic.
You know, it's funny. I actually played Candyland for the first time in like how many ever years with my nieces. And
they slaughter you.
Oh, they won, but they don't know how to play. So they're like, "Oh, I get to go here." I'm like, "No, you don't." And they're like, "Yes, I do." And I'm like, "Okay."
That's what I've heard about Monopoly. It's like the reason that it's so long is no one plays by the rules, yeah, or no one plays it correctly.
Yeah. There's so many, yeah, over the years, just, you know, you land on free parking, you get the money that's in the middle, which make no sense. I remember the first time I played with someone who had that rule. It's like, no, yeah, that's not how you do it.
My brother is... You never want to play him in a board game because, one, he's ultra competitive, and two, he is much smarter than I am, which is a lot of people. And we were playing Monopoly with a couple other people, and he just housed everyone. And it's just like, oh, that's how you're supposed to play Monopoly.
Now, Wyatt, of all the games, Life is the one he likes to play.
I have only played Life a handful of times, and each time I...
died.
Yeah.
Life did not go well.
Life didn't go well. Even I usually choose the different paths. Like if I went to college in real life, I always go no college in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like to see what it would have been like.
Doesn't change much, does it?
No.
The real game of life.
Yeah.
Everyone tries to screw you.
Yeah. Well, those games are nice because they start you off with board games,
mm-hmm,
but then, like, I don't know, like, after a certain point, they just kind of become like, it's the same old thing over and over again. Like, Monopoly is just like people, I don't get, you okay? I don't get the appeal of Monopoly because it's just like, it's boring to me, but it is a game that although, to be fair, I was playing Axis and Allies very young. You played that.
Yes.
Have you ever played that?
I'm not. I was a Risk person.
Okay, yeah.
Risk, yes.
Risk, yeah.
Risk, just... Axis and Allies, the setup is just...
Oh, God, the setup takes more than the... It takes longer to set up than it takes to play sometimes.
I think, yes. It is insane. It's so much fun, but Risk... Risk was a game that Dad and I would just play, just the two of us.
Oh, really?
And, yeah. If he was off, and we would literally play it the whole day.
I mean, my gosh.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, Risk, when I found out, I was incredibly underhanded.
Oh, yes, I guess I will do that. Well, now, did you ever play Stratego? Have you ever
played? I've never played Stratego. For some reason, just the name just made it sound way out of my league.
Yeah, no, Stratego was fun. It's very much so anyone who doesn't know, it's kind of like chess/checkers, but, you know, for war. And then you've got your pawns that, you know, your infantrymen that, you know, have a number attached to them, and then you've got your captains and your lieutenants and your generals, and then there's a spy, and you've got bombs that you place, and you're trying to capture the flag, but moving. That was another one. It's great for two players because that's all you can play, but that was always one that was fun to play as well because it goes fairly fast as long as you don't dawdle along.
I like board games that don't take terribly long to do. It's like, I want to be able to finish it in at least 20 minutes. Like,
yeah.
I want to be able to watch a Saturday morning cartoon show while playing this and be done before Transformers comes on.
Uh-huh. Yep. That's our goal these days. We went to Origins Game Fair for the first time ever last year. And literally, it was like we picked up all these different card games for 1 to 4 players, and then we picked up a few... little mini strategy board games. It was a blast. We're going to go this year again.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, because it's Origins is around my birthday this year, so we're going to go for like a birthday. At least it's going to be for my birthday.
Yeah, that's
my
right.
My personal thing is
going. Should we get you a crown?
Oh, yeah.
You should go to Burger King, get
you
a crown, and then you walk around Origins with that.
Yeah, you know, actually, last time I went into Burger King, they gave me a crown. They're like, "Do you want a crown?" I was like, "Yes."
There we go.
I don't know why they asked me, but...
You're set.
I don't know.
Now, what about Mastermind? Did you ever play Mastermind?
No, I'm not familiar with that one, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. So, it's not really a board game, but so it's kind of like Wordle, but with colors.
Oh, okay.
So, you pick a color scheme with your little pegs, and then the person that's playing puts down their guess, and then you mark, you've got red and white little pegs, and you mark whether they got it right or wrong, and then they, I think, what is it, about 20 guesses you get. But then we picked up Mastermind Advanced, or I forget exactly what's called, and it added another color to it, and there was something else that made it harder. That one, it's fun, 20 minutes sometimes you don't get done.
Yeah, well, you know, the problem with some board games is learning them.
Yes.
Yeah. That takes an hour in itself most of the time.
Well, you remember that Godzilla game, right?
Yeah.
How long did it take us to learn that?
Oh my gosh, I blocked that one out, yeah.
That was terrible. I bought it was a Funkoverse Godzilla game. So you got a Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah.
Yeah.
Rodan.
Yeah. I think there was one more piece. But it was a strategy game, and you're playing as this piece, and you're fighting, so it's kind of a cross between a card game, and you're trying to take out your other opponents, and everyone's got a set thing that you're supposed to do during your turn. The instructions were less than clear on how to do some of the things. And for someone like myself who hasn't played a game like that in a really long time, we were all completely lost. I think it took us an hour just to figure out how to play the game.
Yeah,
once we figured it out and did it, the gameplay went very fast.
Yeah. Well, the worst part for me is like trying to teach somebody how to play because I'm terrible explaining things. Because like I just know how to do these things. Because I've already played this game like 4 times. I know how to do it. You know, in my mind, I'm like, yeah, this is how you do it. But then you get somebody new. And this is part of the reason that board games don't catch on more is that there's like a high rate of entry. I mean, they're definitely more popular now than I think ever before.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of people who are like, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that because of the way I have to learn and all that stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Because there are some... I mean, there are some games that have a lot of arbitrary rules, you know. D&D has some arbitrary numbers thrown out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while I'm thinking about it, I'm looking at your Masters of the Universe board game.
Is that a game?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, dear Lord.
That whole bottom of that table is the Masters of the Universe game.
Yeah.
So my friend Steve, this is a, oh gosh, I'm going to forget the name of the company. Anyways, insert company here. I forget the name of the company, but he did the Kickstarter for the Masters of the Universe game, and he ended up with an extra set, decided he wasn't going to sell it, asked if I would want it, because I love Masters of the Universe, so here we are. And it is a little overwhelming how many boxes there are.
Yeah,
but one day we're going to open it up.
Oh, yeah.
And they say the gameplay is only an hour for the initial set. So the initial set is just that one box over there at the very bottom, Clash for Eternia. That's the original game. Everything else is just extra. And then you have Castle Grayskull to put in with the two. It is pretty wild. I went through the boxes.
It looks excessive.
It's yes, but I can't wait.
Looks awesome.
Yes.
But excessive.
You have to be the one thing I'll probably never do is obviously none of the pieces are painted. And like with Warhammer,
yeah.
It's Warhammer, yeah.
The idea of painting some of those figures just gives me anxiety that I can't even describe. So it's like, nah, they're gonna stay gray and tan. It's
Grayskull.
It's supposed to be gray.
Yeah, Castle Grayscale.
Grayscale. Yeah. Ooh, there we go.
But the other thing is, we already know what color they are, so we can just
use our.
I know what color He-Man.
Imagine.
That's what the game's.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But now I think most games these days, the reason they're interesting is you've got some now that are co-op. You know, all the games growing up, it was you versus everyone else, right?
Yeah.
And so, I beat you. And that Forbidden Island, it's not. It's everyone's got to work together.
Yeah.
What is it? The secret Hitler or whatever that is.
Yeah.
And then there's so many iterations of that with the different... Everyone's working together to find out who the secret Hitler is, right?
Boss monster. I think that's another
another co-op one where you're trying to fight a boss monster. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that game. I haven't played that in years. Boss monster. Wow. It is interesting because there are different, and like there's a really good one called the Eldritch Sign or Elder Sign, I think. That's basically you and your teammates trying to stop Cthulhu from coming through a portal or one of the Elder Gods.
Hmm.
That one, I recently played it Beyond the Board for the first time in years. And you get a character. Oh, and then there's What's the one that you got with the monsters? The cryptids?
Oh! Oh, shoot. Yes. What is the name of that? Monsters Unleashed?
Something like that. But it's... You have to fight... There's, like, the movie version where you have to fight the Universal Monsters. And then there's, like, the American version where you pick a couple cryptids.
Horrified.
Horrified. That's right. There we go. And, you pick like a cryptid or two. I think you pick three cryptids and you have to fight them off. And you're in a small town. It's really cool. And that one's co-op too. Yeah, I like co-op games, you know, because it's just a nice little, you know, strategy against somebody gives me anxiety too. So
I love going against people. It's funny because I'm not a very competitive person. But when it comes to games, it's just like I want to go against somebody.
Yeah.
Yes. I enjoy the co-ops. So, like, one of my favorite games is Scattergories. And,
oh, yeah.
And it's... this is going to paint me as a horrible human being. But I love it when I can come up with words or a string of words that other people can't. And,
yeah.
You know, I get the score. No one else does. And I may rub it in their face a little bit. I scored 58 that round. What'd you get?
It's like, I'm dyslexic. I'm lucky I can count to two, let alone score words.
Yeah.
Although, now, I have to go back to the Masters Universe thing.
Yep.
I have to know.
Mm-hmm.
Fan or hate the 80s live action?
Oh.
So.
That's a tough question.
I love it.
So, I love it for what it is. Okay, I understand it is not He-Man, you know, as I grew up with. But even when I was a kid, I loved that movie. It's a horrible movie, but it's great.
It's horribly awesome.
Yes.
That's a podcast you get, just horribly awesome movies.
Oh, we already, that's on the list.
That's on the list.
Yeah. Good, bad movies. With good, bad movies, we have that one. yes, love that movie. Frank Langella as Skeletor was absolutely beautiful. I'm sad that I keep hearing rumors that they're going to do another one, and then it just falls through the cracks. And I don't get it because, I mean, with today's technology, you think it'd be kind of a slam dunk to be able to do.
I think they should do it again, but just make it just as horrible.
Oh yeah. Oh,
same movie makeup and everything. Get Dolph Lundgren back in.
Oh,
there
yeah.
we go. An aged He-Man has to come
back.
Yeah,
it could be like
he'd be like King Conan.
You know? Exactly. That's what
there you go.
Speaking of that, there's a really great Conan game that we bought once. Conan board game. Really expensive, and we only ever played it once because it was so hard to play. But it was co-op though, and I was Conan and I was an agent of Crom.
Did you just have to push a wheel around?
Yeah.
That is the whole game? Last one to live?
Yeah.
That'd be a really cool board game if you actually had the big spinning wheel thing.
Yeah,
gosh. Now, you also have the Thing board game,
yes,
right?
Which I haven't been able to play yet because I don't have enough people who like the Thing.
You know what? We know someone who likes the Thing as much as we do. John.
Oh, really?
He was upset that we didn't talk about it as much as he thought we should during the John Carpenter episode. So... we've got to make that happen.
Okay, I don't know how many players it is, but we'll get some more people.
Because that was one I saw at Origins, and I'm like, because I think I texted you, right?
Yeah.
Because if you didn't have it, I was going to buy the darn thing. And then, do you have the expansion game too?
I don't have the expansion, no.
And it was called Outpost.
Outpost 31, probably.
Yes. But Origins is where I got it. So we went a little nuts at Origins. So there was a booth there that if you paid, what was it, $1? And you spun a wheel, and it landed on a number, and it told you, this is the game you'll get. And the guy was like, look, if there's a certain game you want, I'll just spin the wheel, and you'll get the game. I'm like, no, I want to, you know, try to win it. We ended up getting, like, 4 or 5 games from him, because I kept. Finally, I went, I want Bowling for Zombies. Can you get that for me, please? But we got that Godspeed that John's probably about the only other person we might be able to talk into playing that. But it was during the pandemic that they released this Godspeed game. And the concept is the moon landing happened, but for a reason we didn't realize. It was to distract us because they were actually having a race to an outer planet so that we could start harvesting it and building civilization there for when Earth collapses. And Russians beat us there, and then we're next, and then like Japan and Great Britain are right behind us. And so then the game is you're trying to set up your base and you know, sabotage the others. And it's a huge board. It's like three quarters of this table, and then there's hundreds of pieces. I mean, it just looks really overwhelming. But it's, and it's one of those games that, it, I mean, it says it takes like, you know, 3 to 5 hours. And right. It's like, but they had it really cheap because it was released during pandemic. They couldn't go to shows. Mm-hmm. And it was a company that only sells at shows like that. And so they had it like 80% off or something. I'm like, okay, for $25, I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
And
the cost of things like after the pandemic are interesting.
Yes.
Like certain things that came out during it. It's like either like they're like that where it's like they're worth nothing. Or things like, I know some certain sets for my game that came out during the pandemic, those cards are horribly expensive because they're such a limited release.
So what would you, we'll get back to, what would you suggest to someone who wants to get into Yu-Gi-Oh?
I was just going to ask that.
For the first time.
First time?
First, they've never done it. What do they need to do?
Luckily, so in the past, structure decks are, you know, things that come out, and you know, it's basically you buy this, you can play the game.
Mm-hmm.
The newest structure decks, like the last 2 years, have been amazing, and I would say it's like you buy three of a structure deck. So you go to Walmart, you see the most current one is Trap Tricks, you buy three of that, and then you can mash them together and play it versus anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also, one thing you do have to get, you have to get sleeves.
Okay.
Because it's actually legally required for play. You have to sleeve your cards. And then play, like, the boxes come with a play mat, but you should buy one. Just get a little play mat to actually play with. And you're good to go, basically. Any of the newer structure decks came in the last 2 years, you can buy those, and you may not be, like, ultra competitive, but you'll win some matches.
Yeah. And learn it.
Yeah.
Which is
the main thing.
Okay. Well, I mean, learning-wise, like, so, on my most recent series, you know, I'm learning this new deck, and when I decided to play it, I had basically no idea how to play it. I knew the general from playing against it, and I was like, okay, hop on my simulator, Dueling Nexus, and you can play bots. So it's just like, I just spammed bots for, like, 2 days, and just got destroyed. And because you're playing cards wrong, getting locked into different things, but yeah, if you know you're just starting out, grab a structure deck, because I wouldn't try to buy a meta deck, because one, you won't understand how to play it.
Mm-hmm.
There's too many weird mechanics. Structure decks are nice because they don't put in a ton of mechanics to screw you up. You know, you'll just have like, okay, this deck is going to do this and make this monster. Boom, you're good to go. So yeah, if you just get that, start playing it, you're good to go. And then once you get that normal bit, depending on the budget you have, most people say don't buy sealed product because it's much cheaper just to go online and order cards as you need them. Because there's TCG Player, which is actually owned by... cat's going crazy on that thing. Is owned by not Amazon. What's the one thing where you buy things online?
eBay.
It's actually owned by eBay. So it's real easy to buy cards. So as you get better at the game, you can buy singles on there. And, you know, if you're buying a budget deck, which I actually have videos for like under $50 decks you can play, you know, you just order all those cards and you can play it.
Mm-hmm.
But before you order them, just spam bots online to see if you like it. And I think, like, even if you don't know anything about the game, if, like, you just get online, start playing against bots, you'll probably figure it out in a week. Or if you have somebody that actually sit down, go through the rules, and then you'll get kind of the gist pretty quick. Don't watch the anime because they cheat.
Yeah.
And a lot of the cards do not do the same thing that the cards do. It's like in the first episode, of the anime, Yugi summons Dark Magician, mm-hmm. which is a level 7 monster, which requires you to tribute monsters to summon. Yeah. And he's just like, I summon this. Or Kaiba summons 3 blue eyes. Yeah. It's like, you don't have the tributes for that.
I guess the game mechanics don't translate well to making a action-packed...
The newer ones aren't bad, because like, they do tend to follow the rules somewhat, but they are a little lax on some certain aspects. And they're like, it's like, you know, the whole heart of the cards thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I play one of this card, good thing I drew it. But in reality, it's like, I play 3 of this card... and 8 cards that search this card.
Mm. Well, we are almost at the end of the hour, so...
Well, that went fast.
That went really fast.
We're going to have another board game and card episode.
We're going to have to... Well, maybe we'll do like a... Maybe we can do like a live board game.
Ooh.
Thing sometime.
That'd be interesting.
Live Dungeons & Dragons podcast.
Oh.
That's never been done.
Never.
I just had an original idea.
Yeah. You've got this.
Yeah.
Did Wizards of the Coast pull back on the whole you have to pay them to put out content?
Last time I heard they did.
Yes. That it okay. it all...
Yeah. We made a podcast about that, and then about 3 hours later, they... before we could publish it, they...
They all changed, yeah.
It was really funny.
You guys did it.
Yeah.
It was all us.
Well, we have a theory that Hasbro has us... tapped. They have us wired here because
we are the heartbeat of nerdom. Yeah. We know what's going on.
Hasbro just knows that we know.
Hasbro, if you're listening, I will play your card games. Put them on my YouTube channel.
Let us know if they get hold of you. No one's gotten hold of us yet.
Yeah.
And they're too afraid.
I think we said before it is like we gotta get some people, an actual Yu-Gi-Oh community in Marysville.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. That'd be fun. I'm always up for trying something new.
Yeah,
I'm trying to get these guys to start playing. It's like, I've got cards. I'll sell them to you for cheap.
I bet we could talk Ethan into it.
Yeah, Ethan likes anime, so he's probably watched Yu-Gi-Oh! So.
Yeah. John probably be up for it.
Yeah, John will try anything.
I think so.
Game-wise.
Yeah.
So.
We'll bribe him with food.
Yeah.
Pizza and Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah. Ooh.
There we go.
Can't beat that.
What else do you need?
We'll take him to Indian food one time and just...
We got to go back to that place. What was it called? Dawaba.
I don't know. I went to a mall with you guys.
Oh, that's right. We tried a new place. We tried a new place on Friday. It was me, John, Kate, and...
somebody you used to work with.
Someone we used to work with. Dawaba. It's in Powell. Right across from Handles.
Wow. There's so many new businesses being plugged on this podcast.
It was really good.
All the board game shops, all the Indian food places... We're just plugging away.
You know what? We'll do a foodie episode one day.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
It'd be a good episode. I'd listen to
I could nerd out on some food places.
Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, that's definitely... Every time you know your food places, that's for sure. Well,
my cousins in Kentucky always call me, hey, we're in this area. Where should we go eat? I gotcha.
Well, yeah, we're going to have to do another one of these because we just filled up a
Ross,
whole hour
thank you
already.
So much for coming on.
Thanks for having me,
thank
guys.
You
appreciate
for coming.
It.
And we want to say one more time, if you are a fan of Yu-Gi-Oh! Or just a fan of being a person, Ross has a YouTube channel, Rain Knight Gaming, and you should go follow it. If not, then you're dead to me.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Sounds pretty serious.
Yeah.
I would subscribe. I'll subscribe.
Yeah. I'm glad I already did it.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man.
Well, Ross, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks. And until next time, stay nerdy.